Number nine. Next step 419, June 16, 2016. We start this ninth year by connecting the dots once again between the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, the sensitive. Yeah, this is Father Voskan. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. Today we'll be looking at the shooting in Orlando as well as a beautiful service called the giving of the rank of Zaira Queen. How does this all connect? Well, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskan provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, newbies discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready, we're taking the next step.
Well, welcome. So good to have you with us. Yes, we are kicking off our ninth year of broadcasting, of podcasting, The Next Step. Yes, we started 8 years ago today, and the same crew is here. We've got Susie, our producer. We've got Ken, our engineer. And by starting our ninth year, guess what? We are the longest running Armenian Orthodox Church podcast in history. If we had made it to week two, we would be the longest. No, you know what? It has been such a blessing to be with you here for the last 8 years, every week, consistently. I mean, even while we've been traveling, we've been taking the show on the road. We've broadcast from Argentina, from Armenia, from London. We've broadcast from all over the place, from the desert. You've heard it. If you've been with us for all those years, I hope you don't get tired of us. And if you're just joining us, welcome. Put on some nice shoes. We're going to be walking. We're going to be taking the next step. And today we've got a great show for you. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things and connecting some dots. Because as we began this show, as we began compiling information for this ninth anniversary, of course, we had this horrendous event that took place in Orlando with the shooting of 100 people, 49 of them were victims of this killer. The 50th, of course, was the killer himself who was shot. And of course, another 50 people who were and still are in the hospitals, and a variety of reaction. I want to share with you some of those reactions and share with you where we are as Armenian Church, as Armenian Christians, as we approach it from this very unique vantage point we've been talking about for the last 8 years. It's called Armodoxy. It's basically the Armodox tradition, the Armenian Orthodox tradition without the hoopla. Take a look at what Christ demanded of us, what Christ put out on the table for us, and how as Armenian Orthodox, you are tapping into the earliest Christian known tradition. You are basically tapping into Christ. So what is that message that comes out to us, even in the face of these horrendous events? And also, we're going to be talking about a beautiful service that took place last night, because actually, as I was building up the material for this week's podcast, it sounded really gloom until last night. I had the chance to participate in, it's actually a monastic service. It's the giving of the rank of Zaira Queen, extreme teacher, Vartabed. So it's the extreme Zaira Queen Vartabed. And I'm going to be talking about that because it was so beautiful. The prayers written by Datevatsi from the early centuries, the prayers just kind of redirected me and it brought me into focus. And I do need to share that with you too. And I think it comes as a fitting cap on top of everything we're going to be talking about from Orlando. So bear with me today. I'm glad you're with us today. Yeah, we wanted to do a celebration as we kicked off our ninth year of podcasting. It's not in that celebratory manner because of so much going on in the world, but I do need to share all this with you, and I hope and pray that you're going to be appreciative of what we have for you today and as we put it together. I want to start off that we were going to actually start off today's, this ninth year, with a quote. And I had the pleasure of being at an ordination, a deacon ordination at the Episcopal Church. Robert Samus, a good friend from the Episcopal Church, was being ordained as a deacon. And I had a chance to go and pray with them and be there for this service, and we wish him all the best as he begins his ministry through the diaconate. But this took place at the St. John Cathedral, which is the Episcopal Diocesan Cathedral here in Los Angeles. And as I went in, there was a beautiful sign, some verbiage that I do want to share with you. It said, St. John Cathedral, Catholic worship, evangelical preaching, progressive social witness. Those 3 points. And that is so well said. It really is very descriptive, if you think about it, of what we focus on here as Armadoxy. Because what is it? It's basically the Christian message. It is basically what Jesus Christ demanded of us. Catholic worship, in other words, universal. In other words, a worship that brings together the entire community, brings together the entire world. Evangelical preaching. Hey, if you're going to be preaching, don't just preach. Make it evangelical. Bring people to the witness of Christ. Show them what Christ is all about and the power that Christ has for their lives. Not a power of this world, but a power that is transforming, that transforms lives and can transform this world. Preaching, make it evangelical. Progressive social witness. That's what it's about. Not just social witness. You're not out there feeding the hungry, but it has to be progressive. It needs to be eliminating some of those difficulties that are in the world. And you have to become the hands, the legs, the mouth of Christ. So we want to wish Deacon Robert the best as he begins his ministry. Giving us a little bit from the church, I want to kick it off by talking about what happened over there in Orlando and our reaction. And then I'm going to share with you this beautiful, beautiful service. We'll do that in the second portion of today's show after we hit the song about the Zaira Queen Vartabed. Because as I'm talking about the preaching, as I'm talking about evangelical preaching, progressive social witness, we find that back in the early centuries, Greek Ordate Vatsi, the saint who wrote this beautiful piece, he had that same intention for the church. And so as we drift off, as we go away from social teachings, as we go away from the social ministry or evangelical preaching, we are really going away from what Christ wanted us to do and basically the tradition of the church. This is very important because we mistake capital T tradition with lowercase t tradition. Sometimes people will listen to me as I, whether I preach or whether I'm here on the podcast and I speak, and people will say, oh, well, you're away from tradition. No, I'm not. I'm with the tradition. In fact, I am more traditionalist than most people will ever be. I stick to those traditions. That's not me. I'm not going to go away from the traditions. But tradition doesn't mean that I just kick back, put my legs up, put my arms behind my head, and just say, let it go, let it flow. No, tradition means to be in that revolution of love that Jesus Christ promised from the day one. When he came, when St. John the Baptist, even before he came, when St. John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord, what was he saying? To prepare what way? Well, it's the way of the Lord, which is the revolution. It's coming. And with Christ, it's here. And it is a revolution of love, meaning that love is this incredible tool that he gives us to be able to deal with the sorrows of the world, with the tensions in the world, with the crises in the world. And this is something that we need to adopt and understand as Christians. This is the basic foundation of Armodoxy. Yeah, these politicians are out there. They're telling you that they're going to do this and that. But what? They are all confined to the temporal world. They are all confined to the means that they have built on dollars. Guess what? You've got a power that is greater than those dollars. You've got a power that is greater than all of this temporal existence. It is eternity. It is the universe. It's when you look out into the sky and you can see beyond our atmosphere. And you look out there and you see stars that are billions of light years away. Do you know how far away that is? No, you don't. You have no clue. Nobody does. We ponder at it. We ponder and we look up and we look up at the stars as human beings have done since day one. And they wonder, what am I here for? Where am I going? What's this all about? What's this existence about? And then Jesus Christ comes and says, listen, all of this is there. Don't worry about it. What you need to worry about is this simple thing that God has placed in your heart, to love one another. Care for one another. Have compassion for one another. And guess what? If you do that, you will be in sync with the rest of the universe. You will be sync with everything that's out there, 13 billion light years away. And guess what? Beyond all that, that simple love answers all of the other questions. It answers the questions in your life. What's going on with your life? How do you deal with difficulties in your life? How do you deal with tensions? How do you deal with soured relationship, with monetary problems that you're having? It really comes down to a very simple formula given to us by Jesus Christ. That's the teaching. That's the teaching of Armodoxy. Now, last weekend, this horrendous tragedy happened in Orlando. You had a gunman go out there and shoot 100 people. 50 of them died. 49 died. One was the killer on top of it. 50 people died. Another 50 were sent to hospitals. And they called it the largest shooting in American history. And just like I played with you earlier, with these superlatives about the longest running show in Armenian Orthodox history, so too, there's something about these superlatives, these expressions of showing that we have the greatest, this is the longest number, this is the biggest number. Well, they're just basically ways of counting, and they're all tragic. They're all tragic because basically human life has been expended. The greatest gift that God has given has been taken away. Human life ended. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the reaction. Tragically, what happened right after that shooting is people did the same old, same old. Moments of silence. I'm going to share with you two little clips. I was incensed by this. I got to tell you, for 2-3 days, I was sort of like numb. I couldn't function. I really couldn't function because I was just incensed by the way people reacted. I mean, immediately following that shooting, you had here in the LA area, you had the Gay Pride Parade. And the Gay Pride Parade began with a moment of silence. And then everything back to normal. Hey, let's go and parade, right? The day after the shooting, there was the Tony Awards, right? Let's have a moment of silence. Let's even cry about it. And by the way, here is the newest winners. It's like business as usual. Keep things going. Keep things moving. We got to make money. We got to make sure that everything runs. And basically, we are desensitized to this senseless killing, to this mass destruction that seems to be all around us. And our response happens to be silence. I'm going to share with you what Stephen Colbert said. Listen to this. This is an interesting little statement.
Naturally,
right here.
we each ask ourselves, what can you possibly say in the face of this horror? But then sadly, you realize you know what to say, but it's been said too many times before. You have a pretty good idea of what most people are going to say. You know what a president, whoever it is, will probably say. You know what both sides of the political aisle will say. You know what gun manufacturers will say. Even me, with a silly show like this, you have some idea of what I will say. Because even I have talked about this when it has happened before. It's as if there's a national script that we have learned. And I think by accepting the script, we tacitly accept that the script will end the same way every time, with nothing changing. Except for the loved ones and the families of the victims for whom nothing will ever be the same. It's easy. It's almost tempting to be paralyzed by such a monstrously hateful act, to despair and say, well, it's the way the world is now. Well, I don't know what to do, but I do know that despair is a victory for hate. Hate wants us to be too weak to change anything. Now, these people in Orlando were apparently targeted because of who they love. And there have been outpourings of love throughout the country and around the world. Love in response to hate. Love does not despair. Love makes us strong. Love gives us the courage to act. Love gives us hope that change is possible. Love allows us to change the script. So love your country. Love your family. Love the families and the victims and the people of Orlando. But let's remember that love is a verb. And to love means to do something.
Stephen Colbert. Used to be a bigger fan of him than I am these days, but listen to what he said. Yeah. There's almost like a national script. I like that. A national script. Almost like these are the things you have to do. It's like whenever, you know, like now that religion has gone by the wayside, now that we don't have religion, basically, now that people don't believe, there's no tradition, so to speak, what do? We start creating tradition. Think about it. Here, you know, in maybe just being in Los Angeles, I see more of it. We have the Hollywood Walk of Fame, where you have these stars that are placed right on the sidewalk. Every time a star passes away, it's the tradition. The fans will go to that star and they will lay flowers, they will light candles over there, and it becomes sort of like a grave marker, right? And this becomes a new tradition, a tradition of paying respect to this passing. Well, so too, with these great tragedies, it's almost like we have a national script of what to do. Why? Because we are in the absence of real traditions. We are in the absence of real understanding of what life is all about and what the meaning of this life should be, namely, in service to others, right? Okay, so Colbert makes this point, and then at the end he comes off with this beautiful statement, love is the response to hate. Wow. You've heard that before, haven't you, right? It's what we talk about in Armadoxy, right? But where does Armadoxy get it from? It's Christ! It's Christianity! It's basic Jesus Christ, but you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it, because Christianity is just sort of like put in the back over there. This is Jesus Christ said it. From the cross, you're killing me with these nails, with this abuse, but still I love you and I forgive you. Repaying evil with love. Interesting, after the little commentary, this was on a news show, after Colbert made this commentary, listen to these two, commentators. Interesting.
Powerful words from Stephen Colbert there.
I just feel like he just hit it right on the head there.
Yeah, it is very powerful. It's very profound. But where did you hear this? Where did it come from? It came from the beginning of the universe. It came when Jesus Christ presented it to the world. From the cross, he said, love is the way I'm conquering this world. He sat down with his disciples and he said, hey, listen, you've heard about hating people, about hating your enemies. I'm telling you something really wild. Ready? Extreme. You want to talk about extremism? Here it is. Want to talk about revolution? Here it is. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. What? What? Wait. What about picking up guns? What about shooting those people that hate us? What about eliminating those people that hate us? What does Jesus say? Love your enemies. Very profound. Very distinct message. And people can sugarcoat it by saying, hey, you know, love is good and everything, which is nice. It's good to have sugarcoating, right? Yeah, I agree. I like it too. But we have to understand how wild this is. And then once you understand how wild it is, adopt it. And this brings us to our second clip, because I think that for all it's worth, and I know that there's a lot of sincerity. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm not trying to discount the sincerity of these people doing this. But this silence is deafening. And here is a congressman. This is the Connecticut congressman who actually saw Sandy Hook a year or two ago when the little kids were killed. And this is him in front of the House of Representatives here in the United States. Listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, sometime today or tomorrow, this House will hold a moment of silence for 50 massacred Floridians who had their bodies torn apart by a madman with a military-grade weapon. Silence. That is how the leadership of the most powerful country in the world will respond to this week's massacre of its citizens. If this Congress had a single moral fiber, we would force ourselves to get to know the slaughtered innocents. We'd get to know Corey James Connell, 21 years old and a student at Valencia College, a child with dreams cut short by a madman with a military rifle. And make no mistake, cut short by this Congress's fetish to repeatedly meet bloody tragedy with silence. Silence. That is what we offer in America that supports many of the things we could do to slow the bloodbath. Silence. Not me. Not anymore. I will no longer stand here absorbing the faux concern, contrived gravity, and tepid smugness of a House complicit in the weekly bloodshed. Sooner or later, the country will hold us accountable for our inaction. But as you bow your head and think of what you say to your God, when you are asked what you did to slow the slaughter of innocents, there will be silence.
Yeah, what's it supposed to mean, these gestures that we have? Let's have a moment of silence, and then let's have our gay pride parade. Let's have a moment of silence, and then, you know what? I'm going to accept the award, the Tony Award. I don't want to miss a beat in my life, but it's okay that beat has stopped in these 50 lives. Now, where's our compassion? We need to stop. We need to look around and sort of sensitize ourselves in this desensitized world. And this is really a challenge for us, because as more and more of these happens, and they are happening, and more, what was it? It was Paris a few months ago. It was in Brussels. We saw it in San Bernardino here in Southern California. Now it's on the other side. We're seeing these killings, these senseless attempts at trying to bring about justice in the world. That's the word that they use. Justice, when all along we know that it's basically about a power struggle. And we start ascribing different things to it, which we say it's in the name of religion. Just a couple days ago, there was the anniversary of back in the, I can't remember when, it was in the 1980s when TWA flight was hijacked to Beirut, Lebanon. Three times it landed on the tarmac, and it was the anniversary of that. And they were speaking with the gentleman who was taken in as a hostage. I tried my best to try to find that clip, and I can't bring that clip to share it with you, but I'm going to basically paraphrase it. And that man told us about the horror that he had to experience being tied up, bound, gagged. His eyes, he couldn't see. They took a tie and tied up his eyes. And he said they threatened him. They were going to kill him unless the Beirut airport filled up the plane with fuel and allowed them to leave. He said, three times we landed in Beirut. And you could tell from his story, the horror. And then the commentator asked, well, how was it resolved? He says, it was President Reagan. President Reagan, he said, parked the 6th Fleet outside of Beirut Harbor, called up the terrorists, told them you have exactly this amount of time to free this hostage, otherwise the city will be leveled. 3.5 million people will be annihilated. That's it. He says, I was released. Like I said, I wish I had the clip for it, but basically, in a nutshell, that's what he had to say. That's how he was released. Might. Yeah, you're hearing it right. Remember me, Father Voskin, talking about fighting fire with water? No. This case, fighting fire with fire. Okay, well, what's the difference? Well, in what he said afterwards, he says, this is not about religion. This is about power. It's about greed. It's about money. And when we start looking at what's going on in the world, these are situations that have been created not by religion, not by my God is greater than your God, but about power, about greed, about people taking what doesn't belong to them. It's the word usurp. It's a fantastic word. If you think about it, usurping, taking over. That usurping is what you see in the stories of the things like Garden of Eden, what you see in different metaphors, and you see it happening right now in the world. People taking over what doesn't belong to them. It's what happened in Germany. It's what happened in Armenia. It's what is the cause of all genocides, of all wars, and all kinds of difficulties, misunderstandings. Now you have some formulas for relief. And what we advocate is, can we overcome that with the power of love? And that's really something that has never been tested. It has never, ever been tested because we're too scared. We're too scared to try that power of love. Well, yes, arguably. Yes, thank you. Yes, arguably, Jesus Christ did test it. It did work. It's 2,000 years ago. You sure remember that, don't you? And he gave us a message for all of us to try it. I'm going to take a break right now. We're going to play the song of the day. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to talk about, well, the beauty, the flowering of that test in a service called the Zayrakuin Vartabet. I'm going to play for you today Vartan Hovsepian. He is going to be in concert here in Southern California tomorrow evening. I'm hoping to get out there and see this concert. Great musician, hope you enjoy this song. Thank you. Vartan Hovsepian is the artist. Beautiful music. Hope to get a chance to hear him tomorrow evening. If you happen to be in Southern California, I hear he's going to be in Glendale. Do check it out. We will have a link on today's show notes to all of his great music. Do support these artists that we feature here on The Next Step. Talk about something called the Zaira Queen Vartabed. Yesterday, last night, we had a chance to experience this beautiful service, which in 35 years of being a priest, I've never seen it. It is a monastic tradition. It is a monastic blessing, bestowing. It is not an ordination. It's the bestowing of these ranks. And actually, only a Zaira Queen Vartabed can give it to another Zaira Queen Vartabed. In other words, if the bishop who was passing this on was not a Zaira Queen himself, he couldn't give it to the next person. He would have to bring in another person who could do it. Anyway, so last night, Archbishop Hovnan Derdrayan bestowed this upon Father Pakrat, and the prayers just got to me. And I want to share that with you today because it was so meaningful. And in fact, if I can, you'll see a beautiful picture. I'm going to try to get it as the picture for today's show. It is a staff with flowers on it. I didn't know that the Armenian church was this earthy until last night. But the Vartabed staff is interesting because it has two snakes. And you know, the snake is the symbol of wisdom, right? Comes to us from the early traditions of the Garden of Eden, right? The serpent is the symbol of wisdom. Also, if you remember from the story of Moses going out in the wilderness, he holds up the staff, and at the sight of that, the serpents were stunned, the snakes were stopped, and that symbol has now become the symbol of the medical profession. You see the snakes around the staff. Well, the Vartabed staff is these two serpents along the pole of the staff, and basically it symbolizes that the Vartabed is holding wisdom in his hands, and Vartabed itself means teacher. He's the teacher of the church. By its strictest forms, these were the people that were allowed to preach in the church, that were allowed to teach. Well, no longer is that the case. Basically, most priests and probably some deacons, in fact, have been given the right to preach. Not formally, but just by, what is it? De facto, right? You're in the position, you're going to preach. And unfortunately, our church has not caught up with the times to say that, why don't we make this an actual service, bestowing this right upon the priest, but instead has just kind of like been lackadaisical about its liturgical life and its liturgical reform. And so it's still reserved for the Vartabeds. So you have another irrelevant section of Armenian church reality, let's call it, okay? Hoopla? Yeah, okay. No, let's call it the irrelevance. In other words, Vartabeds are not the only ones who preach. But basically, this is the teacher of the church, the Vartabed, and he holds this staff that has these two serpents. Now, what you're going to notice in the picture, I hope that we'll have it as the cover. If not, I'll definitely have a way of putting it in the show notes. But you'll notice flowers around it. And this is the staff that was used last night to bestow the Zaira Queen Vartabed upon this priest. Now, in the Christian church, there are three main ranks of clergy. There is the deacon, the priest, and the bishop. Deacon, priest, bishop. Armenians have added a fourth rank, and that's Catholicos, in that it is a consecration. The Catholicos is consecrated, different from the Pope. By the way, Pope Francis is going to be in Armenia in the next few days. I believe next week when we broadcast, he will be in Armenia. So the Pope, basically, is not an ordination. If you remember Pope Francis a few years ago, still fresh in our memories, it was an election. It was an election, and he was elected as Pope. The Catholicos is not only elected, but is consecrated. And so it's an ordination. So we have these four ranks, deacon, priest, bishop. All the other things that you hear on top of it are basically given to that individual. So a deacon is six ranks of the church. The acolyte has four. The fifth is subdeacon. Deacon is the sixth rank of the church. The seventh is the priest. Things that are known as archpriest, avakahana, these are basically just given because you're alive, you know. There's no meaning to it. Beyond that, it means you are the senior priest. The bishop, same way. Bishop, archbishop. Before, an archbishop would be in charge of a larger diocese. Now it's basically given to people as, you know, a reward for staying alive. And you are no longer a bishop, you're an archbishop. Now, a vartabed is a giving of ranks. In other words, the rank of being able to teach. The Zaira Queen Vartabed has 10 ranks that are given, 10 degrees, let's call them degrees, 10 degrees that are given to the priest. And today, unfortunately, it's only with the monastic priest, namely the celibate priest. But before, in the old times, this vartabed would be given to married priests. In fact, Archbishop Diran Nersoyan, who was such a revolutionary thinker, and this was a bishop of the last century, who was brave enough, who had was gutsy enough to ordain before marriage, who was gutsy enough to really make some incredible reforms in the church. He actually kicked around the idea of reinstating the vartabed utyun, giving the vartabed rank to married clergy too, because he was looking at it purely on the basis of what it meant. In other words, did you get your education? Did you receive the education to be able to expand and develop on the themes of orthodoxy, of Armenian Orthodox tradition? If you know your stuff, why shouldn't you have that degree? It's basically, yeah, a degree. That's it. So Zairakuin Vartabed is the 10 degrees that are given on top of the Vartabed. In other words, the extreme of Vartabed. Now, last night, as this service was unfolding, I had a piece of paper. Unfortunately, I don't like to, as much as I like to take notes on my my electronic gadgetry, including the little pads and phones that I have, I'm skeptical of doing this during church services because people won't get it. They'll think that I'm sitting there texting people. And I just have more reverence for my church than to allow somebody to think that I'm being irreverent. Get it? So I won't take notes on my pad, on my phone, because, no, people think, they're going to think I'm sitting there playing on Facebook or something, you know? So anyway, I pulled out a piece of paper and I wrote down a few things. The first things, of these 10 ranks, 10 degrees that are given to the priest, I was just listening to the prayers. And by the way, don't tell anybody, but I stole the book afterwards. Don't tell anybody. Even if you did tell anybody, I gave myself away too. I went and I told the priest who it belonged to. I said, I'm going to borrow your book for a few days. I told him I'm stealing it for a few days, and he gave me permission. I'm going to be making a copy of it, and I want to do some studying of this because it was just so fascinating listening to the prayers. They come from Krikor Date Vatsi, from what I understand. And I'm just going to go through the 10 different degrees that the Zaira Queen Vartabed has. He's given the staff, and he comes down on his knees and receives the staff, and that staff is given with these words. First, to console people, mkhitarel, to give comfort to people. It is given as a symbol for him to be intercessor for people. In other words, to talk with people and intercede before God. To instruct people, to teach them the right way. To call to repentance of the sinner. Wow, that's a degree in itself, to call to repentance of the sinner. And in fact, the bishop calls upon St. John the Baptist and says, remember that St. John the Baptist said, make way for the Lord, so too you shall make the way of repentance for the sinner. It's also given to him as a sign of prophetic preaching. He is instructed to preach boldly, hamartzag. These are the words that are used to preach. If you're going to preach, preach boldly. Bars, simply, yevi maslun, simply and with wisdom. Wow. You don't need to add too much flour to it. Just preach what God has placed in your heart. We talked about preparing the way of the Lord. He also talks about preparing the way for the sinner so that he can return to God. The bishop empowers him with the power of the Holy Spirit so that when he preaches boldly. And by this time, we're at the seventh rank, and I guess I should have listed them. But what I'm going to do is actually the reason why I got the book was I want to really go through this and do some writing about this. It was fantastic, and I'll tell you why, but let me continue. Number eight, it said, not to be scared of death, but to preach boldly with the power of the Holy Spirit. So not only to be preaching, but to also push yourself. Not to be scared of death means what? To go out on a limb. Go out there and talk about the things that people don't want to hear. Like, forgive your enemies. Like, the power of love. Go ahead. Push yourself to those limits. Number nine, go preach to the universe. Are you ready for this one? Preach the first and second coming of Christ. I mean, as this is unfolding, I'm thinking to myself, wow, is this the Armodoxy playbook? Now, I got to remind you of who I am. Like, I come into this equation from a different perspective. My exposure to Orthodoxy through the years has been one of development and one of understanding. Initially, I've shared this with you in the past. My Western upbringing was one that failed me. And it was the Eastern Orthodox that talked to me. And yeah, when I was going through seminary, I didn't have the luxury of going to an Orthodox seminary. And I was stuck in Western and secular seminaries. Yeah, secular seminary. That's what you call the University of Southern California, USC. I got my degree in social ethics. Remember, we were talking about social work, about social ethics. Think about that for a moment. What is social ethics? It is basically the degree given by a secular seminary. That's it. Social ethics. So when I hear this, when about talking about the first and second coming, I think about, well, go back and listen to the podcast, listen to the sermons that I've been giving on the second coming of Christ. What do I tie it with? With the first coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is going to happen. We need to be in tune with the first coming, which is the message of love. So this one really blew my mind when I heard number nine. And then number 10, it said to be out there and as the psalmist, as the vartabet, as the preacher, as the teacher, to be the completion of the church of God here on earth. And as I'm listening to these 10 degrees, I'm realizing more and more that how in tune I am with what Armodoxy is about and how proud I am of this flow that we're in as the next step, as in his shoes, as what we've done for the last 8 years, now beginning our ninth year. Of promoting Armodoxy, basically the Armenian Orthodox teaching, message, without all the hoopla, without all the fanfare. And so now, here we are. I listen to this and I think, you know what? This doesn't belong to the Tzairakwin Vartabet. This is the calling of every priest. And as our Archbishop said so beautifully last night, he said that this calling to Christ is not a calling that only the clergymen have, but everyone have. And what I was sharing with you, remember last week I was talking about my father-in-law. For 50 years, he's been in the Sunday school system. You know, there are priests who wear the black and do the ministry. There's people who, without wearing the black, are doing the ministry, and sometimes even more. My father-in-law is one of those people who, without wearing the black, is doing the ministry. So too, when I read these 10 degrees, I understand that, you know, we're not Zaidah queens, but we're doing that Zaidah queen work. And it's not about getting these promotions and these callings and these bestowals. This is fine, and God bless them that get it. We wish the best for Father Bakrat as he receives this. But each time you hear of one of these, it should be a reminder for each of us of the sacred mission that we have. Whether you are a laity listening to this, whether you're a priest listening to this, whether you're a deacon listening to this, whoever you may be listening to this show, listening to these words, it should stir in you that say that, okay, these are the points of the Zaidah Queen. This is what God has called me to do. And it's a time for us to really rededicate ourselves. Every ordination, I started off today's show talking about the ordination of the deacon. Yeah, guess what? I was sitting there, and as I was listening to the prayers in the Episcopal Church, realizing the sacredness of that vow. Yeah, that maybe through the 33 years, 34 years, we've diverted, gone off of him. Last night, as I was listening to him, I'm saying, wow, this is incredible. Because this is where the church should be. This is who I dedicated myself to. This is what I dedicated myself to. And yeah, through the 34 years, okay, we've gone off, we've strayed a little bit, we've done some of the things, but it's a time to rededicate. And I'm not talking about I did this wrong or did that wrong, but I didn't do what was demanded of me. I was called to the profession of Christianity, but was found unworthy of it by my works. What does that mean? Well, I didn't do it. I was called to love and I didn't love. It's not about I was called to love and I hated, but I didn't do that action of love. And so each of these opportunities, when we have a calling, when you get a chance to see one of these dedications, or you're just listening to this show, a recount of these ordinations, of these bestowals, it's an opportunity for you to think in your own life how you are dedicating yourself to the cause. And this is not a religious, actually, I you know, we've been talking all over the place today, but this is not about religion. This is about humanity, about being human. That's the way I want to end today. Because everything I talked about today, it's not about, well, Christ said it first, Stephen Colbert said it second, the Zaidah Queen Vartabed or Date Vatsi said it in the prayers. No, this is about that 13 billion year existence and us evolving at this point, 2016, here on this earth, and calling ourselves what? Human beings. This is about the evolution of a human being. We are people of love. We are people of soul. We are people of spirit. And you can't be insensitive to the pains of the world. And once you realize you can't be insensitive, you need to act on the pains of the world. And that action has to be reflection of love, because nothing else makes sense, right? Nothing else can make sense. So we go around. We listen. We have a lot to listen to today. We hear about things that are happening in the world. We hear about tragedies, senseless violence, senseless killings. We look at what's going on in the world. We see all this tragedy. We see opportunities also for hope. That in these prayers, that once again, this message of love, of consoling, of understanding, of sharing, of becoming Christ's presence here in this world, namely the church, is one that we really have to latch on to and understand as a way of, ready for this, salvation. Yep. That's how simple it is. Isn't that simple? Well, you know what? After 9 years, I don't know, after 8 years, we're starting our ninth year. Here's Susie to tell you what we're doing with our ninth year. I'm going to be back in a few moments, okay? Gonna take a break for right now.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie. And can you believe we've been doing this now? Are we celebrating our eighth anniversary and beginning our ninth year? I want to thank you, Susie, for being there throughout these years. And she was there for issue number one. And she's here for issue number 419, as well as Ken over there. He's been in and out, but it's always been a pleasure working with both of you. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers, your support. I've got to tell you that sometimes I do get carried away, and I appreciate all of your feedback. I do have fun doing this. It is cathartic too, right? It just kind of like releases a lot. But I really, really appreciate more than anything else these beautiful feedbacks that I get from you. And I encourage you to write to me, feedback@epostle.net. You can encourage us with your donations by going to either Epostle or to inissues.org. There is a donate button, and just press on it and send in your donation, whatever your heart feels is right, because this ministry, as Susie said, is supported through your generosity. Anyway, I went quite a bit. I'm kind of like looking back at this episode and saying, wow, we went through quite a bit. And so let's process this. Let's put a bookmark in it right now. This is how we start off our ninth year. Do you know that we used to play that backwards? Do you have any idea what it says when you play it backwards? Well, it was connected with the death of Paul. You want to hear it? Okay, I'm going to drop it at that point, okay? Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. On behalf of the wonderful staff, on behalf of everybody, including the people at St. Peter in Glendale who made this thing possible and have gotten us to this ninth year of broadcasting, I want to thank you for your generosity, your support, your patience with us, and all the love that you share. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen. Looking forward to seeing you next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for download at epostle.net, iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, or on your favorite podcatcher. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew RevivePostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.
ePostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.